In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
One is Mark and John's a co-host. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello. Welcome to Duo Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited for our returning guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're a writer who's worked on Wrecked, Bless the Hearts, and Comedy Bang Bang. It's our good friend Lauren McGuire.
Yay!
Hi! I'm here.
You just have such like a cheerful voice for such like a dark, heavy time at the movies, because this is Five Cold Screams. You're in our movie of our horror movie marathon.
That's right.
And you love, I feel like you and I have mostly only go to horror movies together.
I'm trying to think of any that we've been to that aren't. And I can't, there I'm you coming
go.
Up short.
No Marvel short. Movies, no romantic comedies.
Not really?
No documentaries?
No. But we were talking, like, you saw Barbarian last night and you said you let out a good scream. And that made me think.
I did.
That Alamo Drafthouse has like started handing out cards for people laughing at, like, if you get laughed at, if you laugh at an inappropriate time, they give you a card and like say, please stop that. Which that's sounds a little thought police to me, because like,
Judge of what's an appropriate time?
I do understand, like, you sometimes you go see like an old movie and people laugh at like special effects or like just the performance tics of the era. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't think people should be allowed to do that?
But it does feel like, well, it's, it comes off as like, I'm smarter than this movie. You know what I mean? Oh, look at these bad special effects from this movie made in the 40s. You know what I mean? Like, sure. That's not the, you're kind of here for that. We're not here to like goof on it, but it does feel weird to like chide people.
They have those rowdy screenings. I think they want people to go to those, people who want to laugh and talk or whatever can go to those. But I saw the movie Argo in theaters. And I saw it, unfortunately, with a couple stand-up comedians who would not shut the fuck up the whole time. Like,
oh my God.
Time.
Like, did you go with them laughing. Or they were just two stand-ups who were,
they were, I
went
with some girls and they were like the dates of the girls or whatever.
Gotcha.
And I didn't know them very well. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but the guy in front of us ended up fist fighting, trying to fist fight one of the guys.
Oh my God.
And I don't know. I felt torn about it because I was like, well, you were annoying.
You are annoying, but also it's just Argo.
Right.
You know, like, who's that invested in
that
Argo?
That guy was really, really excited to
is that
see
Ben
Argo.
Affleck?
Yeah. Have I told, were you there for The Conjuring 2, Lauren? Have I told this, The Conjuring 2 story?
I don't think you have.
Not to me, no.
I went, it was our good friend Mono and Betsy. It was Betsy's birthday, I believe. So we all went to City Walk. It was like a kind of thing to go to Bubba Gump, you know, get load up. Everyone's getting trashed. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Classic
birthday. People are trash. So we go, it's opening night for Conjuring 2. And I'm a pretty well-behaved audience member by and large. But Manu and Betsy, I would
rolling
say
the
no.
dice.
You're rolling the dice. So they are talking constantly throughout the movie. And at one point, one of the characters in the movie says, like, is talking about his dead daughter. And I go, Pah! I just laughed because, like, his performance, whatever, it just struck me funny. Uh-huh. And that was the breaking point for this one audience member who, like, stood up and turned around and said, some people are trying to enjoy the movie.
You took the hit.
So I took the hit for Mano and Betsy.
That's tough.
And I just told them.
They thanked you for it many times.
They didn't. No matter how many times I bring it up, they have yet to thank.
Keep bringing it up. I'm sure it'll eventually pay off.
I did tell him, oh, relax. And that was about it, though.
Oh, be nice.
Yeah. I did see a screening. I went to see I Am Legend. And, you know, at the opening, it's like Will Smith and his dog. And, like, at one point, they're both on a treadmill. And there were two, like, truly, I think they were on something, two wild people. And they said, like, oh, that's his little friend. Like, just when they saw him and his dog. And after a while, you just learned, they were talking constantly. After a while, you just learned to, like, well, this is it. This is the experience. I'm just going to embrace this. You know, this is what. This is what it is. I can't fight this. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just experience it.
That's what live movie watching is.
You know, that's what I've missed.
Mm-hmm.
After all this time.
The chaos of it all.
Sometimes, sometimes you remember that more than the movie.
100%.
100% of the time, actually.
I'm trying to remember which one I just saw recently that had some rowdy teens in it. Rowdy teen boys.
Did you see Minions, like, Rise of Gru? That was a whole thing.
I did not.
Oh, right. They were dressing up and freaking people out.
Gentle Minions. There was the Gentle Minions movement.
That's right.
I saw.
Yeah, dressing in full formal prom wear.
Yeah.
It's very,
like,
funny.
Canes and whatnot. Sure.
I was thinking they should become like the anti, now that Minions is done, you know, that movie's done, they should carry on this movement and be like the anti-Proud Boys and be like the Gentle Minions, but represent progressive causes.
I love
Wouldn't that,
that
be a nice
exactly
transition?
That would be lovely.
Who do I
a
talk to in the Gentle Minions community? Do we
Call
know anybody?
I'm sure they're on Twitter. I'm sure there's a hashtag you could tweet at.
I did. When I went to Sacramento a few months ago, we went and saw the Batman in like a theater in the mall. And there were like teens in it. And just they were like these teens were like constantly changing seats,
sure,
giggling during quiet. But and to me, it like felt like wholesome. I was like, oh, that's cute. I remember doing that as a teen. You know, like front row and then like leave together and then come back. And
that was the same. That's the one that I had the rowdy teens in as well as Batman.
The Batman.
Sure.
Yeah, and they were really having fun with the previews, like making comments, and because some audience members would laugh, and then that just fueled them.
You fed them.
No, yeah.
Yep.
You can't do it.
They got addicted.
You know, speaking of being addicted to laughter,
yeah,
today,
that works.
We're talking about Ernest Scared Stupid. John, what's the deal with Ernest Scared Stupid?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Ernest Scared Stupid. It was directed by John Cherry with a screenplay by Charlie Gale and Coke Sams. It's the fifth film to feature the character of Ernest P. Worrell. And in this film, Ernest unwittingly unleashes an evil troll upon a small town on Halloween night and helps the local children fight back. It stars Jim Varney, Eartha Kitt, Austin Nagler, and Jonas Muscartolo. It was released on October 11th, 1991. It made $14.1 million off a budget of $9.6 million. Siskel and Ebert gave the film a thumbs down, calling it a film with Jim Varney mugging his way through a dumb script. But Ken Henke of the Mountain Express, which is an Asheville, North Carolina publication, wrote the film was not good, but said it was also kind of likable. And that is the deal with
that. That was your alternative to the negative review. But, however, on the other hand, somebody said it was bad, but there's something likable. Right.
That was my both sides, yes.
I see both sides of the line.
I would tend to agree with that. We can all agree that it's not
the
pinnacle of cinema.
Sure. We did ask you to pick a movie, and I believe you chose a year ago when we had you on for Elvira. We brought up Ernest Scared. Somehow that came up, and you're like, I'm going to. So, why Ernest Scared Stupid?
I think just because I've watched it 1,000 times. I just grew up watching it. I grew up watching all the Ernest movies, but that one is by far the best. And my
favorite.
Do you think this one's the best one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The only close contender would be Ernest Goes to Jail or possibly Ernest Goes to Camp. But this one, the practical effects alone in this movie, like, make it worth it. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm. What about Saves Christmas? No love for that?
Oh, you know, I just don't remember that one as much for some reason. I'm sure I watched it. I just don't remember it as much.
Were you always a fan of Ernest?
It gets saturated. Yeah, my dad was a fan of Ernest. So therefore, I was a fan of Ernest. My dad knew him from like when he used to do the commercials, which is when he got famous.
Haven and all that stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and yeah, I'd grown up watching him. I knew he was like the trained Shakespearean actor. Like he's an interesting guy.
Jim Varney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of the movie now as a non-child?
I mean, I think it's like a nice time capsule. And I think it is really fun for people who watched it as a child to rewatch it because it holds up about the same. Like it's still fun and you're Well, you know what you're getting when you get an Ernest movie, like you're getting Mugging at the Camera. So I don't see why that would be a negative in a film review because that's kind of his whole deal.
Yeah.
Some say the original, like, front-facing comedian.
He would have,
you know, the original TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Gone direct too to soon.
Too soon. Mm-hmm. Too soon.
What about you, John? Is this your first Ernest cinematic experience?
It's not my first Ernest cinematic experience. A few years ago, I watched Ernest Saves Christmas. I was at the time performing in a musical parody of Home Alone. And we had a performance where...
Did you also write that, John?
I did not write that one. I had
nothing I'll shut up then. Just sorry.
But thank you. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. But another one
writing was terrible.
Might come up later. Oh, that was the worst. We had a performance that was bought out by a law firm. And whenever any company buys out a show as like it's part of the holiday party, it's always going to be the worst show you ever do as a performer. Like they sat there. It was like a whole bunch of people who didn't actually want to watch a show. They wanted to get drunk and do whatever they wanted to do. So we were doing this show to a bunch of lawyers who hated us. And so I came home and I was like, so like, you know how like sometimes you're so angry you can't go to bed? So I was like, I'm going to watch something holiday that will sort of change my mood. And I thought Ernest Saves Christmas is going to be what I watch. So I watched that and I was sort of surprised by it. Like I was like, oh, it's sort of better than I thought it would be. Like I haven't watched it again since that moment, which is maybe 5 or 6 years ago now. But even with this one, I was like, I am sort of really in awe or appreciate Jim Varney and just like how, like, I was trying to think of like who has a career like that, like, or just thinking like, oh, I wish there was sort of more. Like, it's amazing that like a sketch character basically has a film like universe as
like where's Progressive Flows, solves the Middle East peace crisis, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Her Arbor Day extravaganza,
yeah, something in a coal mine. I don't know,
But this is the first time I saw Ernest Scared Stupid. And for some reason, I keep referring to it as Ernest Scared Straight, which is a movie I would love to see. Very different movie. It was not good, but it did remind me a lot of Hocus Pocus, which was a musical parody that I did co-write many years ago, in that it is set around Halloween. It's sort of meant for families, but it's also sort of like has elements to it. It's like kids aren't going to watch this. You know, like with Hocus Pocus, there's this whole thing of they keep making fun of this one character because he's a virgin. And it's like, this is weird for a Disney movie to have this happening. And sort of like with this movie, it's like obviously for kids, but also in some ways creepy and weird, and that like these trolls want to suck your soul. But I mean, it's dumb, but to hate it feels even dumber because it's like it's an Ernest, like you said, like it's an Ernest movie. Of course he's gonna do a bunch of characters, it's not gonna really make sense. He plays a character that's so dumb, but in a way sort of sweet and likable. Like I don't dislike Ernest. But yeah, so it was a sweet, dumb thing. I wish I was watching with a bunch of 5-year-olds because I'm sure they would have made me enjoy it more. How about you, Mark? What is your what do you bring into Ernest Scared
Stupid? That explains that post you did on Next Door asking for a bunch of 5-year-olds to come over to your house. That was strange.
Did not get a lot of traction, unfortunately.
No. The police showed up, I believe, though.
They did, and I took it down.
Okay, fair enough. I believe I saw Ernest Goes to Camp in theaters as a child.
Oh, so cineast.
And I remember liking whenever Ernest commercial would come on TV, that was always an exciting moment. You know, Ernest is on... You know, that would be fun. But this movie was very rough for me to get through. It was, I think it is like the Hocus Pocus comparison is apt because I did not grow up watching Hocus Pocus. I didn't see it until I was in my late 30s. And I was like, this is not for me. I don't like this. Yeah, this is bad. Like, I have no nostalgia for this movie. But I do think Jim Varney was like a national treasure. Voice of Slinky Dog in the Toy Story franchise. Yes.
That's right.
Eternal respect for that. But I do think the makeup effects are great. It's the same people who did Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Mm-hmm. And it does have that same kind of like grotesque, fun, creepy, cartoony kind of vibe that I really love. So the makeup effects are fantastic. Everything else, pretty awful. Personally, I don't want to destroy your childhood, Lauren.
No, it's okay. I can recognize it's false, and also see that it's a wonderful piece of cinema.
It was at one of those movies though, where I checked the time. I was like, okay, 25 minutes. Then I checked it again. I was like, it's got to be like half an hour has gone by, right? 12 minutes had gone by.
90 minutes is too long for the movie. It could have been 60, 45 even.
Oh,
would have been great.
A 49
like a TV special.
Movie. Yeah.
TV special.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I also had to take long breaks while watching it. Where like I would watch 20 minutes, take a break. My husband like left and watched a whole other movie, came back 2 hours later and was like, "You're still watching this?" And I was like, "I need to take time watching this.
You got
to
let it sink in." It's kind of like taking your colonoscopy medicine before you get a colonoscopy. You got to do it in small doses to get through it. But that's neither here nor there, Lauren, because as you may or may not know, but I hope you remember, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. At one point, you are going to come up with a category and will be added
to the wheel.
Or you can choose a pre-existing category. Why does that sound like we're at like 0.5 speed or something? I think that might be that. I think we got to say it quicker. That's our next time. Yeah. But this is our current top five horror movies. So this is where we're at horror wise. In fifth place for horror, your previous entry with an 80.43%, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yes. That's fifth?
Uh-huh. Out of horror movie, just horror of all the horror, and then with an 84. Well, let me get through this list. God. Then with an 84.20%, The Craft. Okay, that makes sense. Maybe. And then with 85.19%, The Lost Boys. And then with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then the number one gayest horror movie we have, and I think the third gayest movie with a 92.99%, is The Bride of Frankenstein.
All right, okay. Lauren, so if you had to guess now, how well do you think Ernest Scared Stupid is going to do?
This is coming in dead last. It is. It's an asexual movie.
Last. Apropos for Five Cold Screams.
It's also, and if you weren't asexual before this movie, you will be by the time it's over.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So the first, let's get into the first group of categories are the canon categories. So these will each be given a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Lauren, what would you give Ernest Scared Stupid on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Is there anyone actually gay in this movie?
I would say there's a lot of townspeople.
Of townspeople.
So I don't know what percentage of the population is gay, like 5 to 10%.
That's what they say.
So maybe are gay.
I'll say I'll give it a 5.
A 5.
Well, no one is overtly gay, but I'm just kind of just using statistics to suss out.
Sure. What about Rimshot the Dog? Now that was just based on the name alone.
That's a fantastic name.
And he likes wearing his little costumes.
That's true, he does.
He's got a flair for the theatrics.
That's true. And you know what? The troll does love a little set of dolls, huh?
Oh, well,
true,
like he's a little fetishist or something.
Action
like
figures. All right. For all that, I'll give it a 12.
A 12? That's insane. Give it a 3. Giving it a almost spooky. Got a 6.67, which is 20 points lower than Blue Crush.
All right.
Our next one, not great. All right, the next one, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons? Well, you got a huge one.
Eartha Kitt.
Huge.
She's having fun.
She's having a great time. This was 2 years before.
Eartha Kitt is fantastic.
Before Emperor's New Groove. This was her audition for Yzma.
She is earning every penny. Like she squeezes out a tear. She manages to get a tear out in this movie, which is just like that. You are a true actor.
Committed. Yeah. I think it was like Ernest's job was to clean up her front yard. Isn't that why he was sent to her?
Oh, like, yeah.
We need
yeah,
her, from like yeah. the Hackmore place.
It's unclear what his job is. It's sort of a general janitor of the whole town.
Yeah.
Drives a trash truck, but also goes and cleans up things.
But then her junkyard, the front of it wasn't like a junkyard. It just looked like, oh, that's someone who like welds, makes steel artwork.
You know what I mean?
No, she actually like made stuff. Oh, like she had like sculpture.
Yeah. It was like a sculpture thing for her door was fun.
Yeah, she was giving like steampunk hoarder witch.
Yes.
And it was, yes. I liked it. Yes.
Which you don't see enough of, I've always said.
Not enough. It's very, that's a very unique role.
Are there any, do we consider Ernest a gay icon?
I don't think the gays have really embraced him.
No, I don't think so either. Unfortunately. But maybe it's for the best.
Although, I don't think he's I never get like homophobia off of him as a character.
I had always grown up with rumors that he was gay. Well, the rumors being my brother telling me because he had Jim Verney had a earring in his right ear or something, which supposed to mean that he was gay.
No, left is right. Oh yeah, left is right and right is wrong. That was the phrase, the mnemonic device.
Oh, is that the phrase? Oh. Yeah,
well, that's binding.
Here you go.
Yeah, he had an earring in the right ear.
I thought too that he was
married to two different women, so I don't think.
I'd Google Jim Varney gay, and the first thing that came up was a Reddit post that said someone asking, "Was Jim Varney gay?" And they said, "You're thinking of Jim Neighbors," and they're like, "Oh, that's right."
If only all of Reddit were that clever.
Yeah. So he was not. But we got Eartha Kitt. She's a big one. I was surprised by how like tiny. I always assume maybe it's the Catwoman. I always picture her like, oh, she's got to be like 6 feet tall.
Oh, you know what I mean? She's pocket size.
She's tiny in this. Yeah.
She's a tiny little thing.
Well, I just always picture her in my mind. She's just like statuesque. You know what I mean?
Just yeah. Her persona. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her energy is tall.
Yes.
Yeah. This definitely needed more of her. And less of these awful children.
Oh, God, awful.
The worst child actors.
I was delighted when they got turned into statues.
Yeah.
And dolls.
They're somehow less wooden. Yeah, they're less wooden when they turn into wooden dolls. Oh, they're emoting.
Oh, boy.
So what do you want to give this for gay icons?
Eartha Kitt is big.
What about Halloween itself?
Halloween itself is an icon.
Gay Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Halloween's a big part of the movie.
It's yeah.
So that's two big ones. I'm going to give it, for that reason, a 60.
60.
For that, I'm going to give it an 80.
80. What's
Eartha Kitt?
Well, what is her breakdown of those 80 points? I'm just curious.
I will say it's 70 for Eartha, 10 for Halloween.
You know what? I'll agree with that. I'll give it an 80 as well. Give it an average of 73.33, which is only 3 points lower than Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is crazy. But all right.
Eartha Kitt.
That's
Eartha
Kitt. Eartha
Kitt, there is no Hedwig.
Yeah. Also, Eartha Kitt.
Cameron Mitchell would agree. He would
that's
agree.
That's true.
I dare say.
Also, I think it also helps the gay icon when the longevity of her just always amps up the, you know, she's got Santa
around.
Baby. She's got Batman.
She's got phases. Yeah.
She's got phases. She's like the moon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next category. This one might be tough. I think we might have peaked already with these categories. The next one, the queer gaze. How much does do you feel like the camera is showing you like queer imagery made by queer people, essentially?
Like big fat zero for that
one. I think it's a big fat zero.
But there is sort of something fun, like that. I won't call it the opening number or the overture, but like just as they're like, this is the movie, and it's sort of Jim Varney sort of singing
the opening credits.
Yeah, the opening credits, and it's sort of like he's singing a song, and they're like showing, flashing all these old, like sort of like hot, like schlocky horror tropes. I don't know. There's something about that of like enjoying this weird sort of like.
I don't think I've known too many creepy straight guys who enjoy horror for that to like count for me.
Mm.
But I feel like there he's saying like enjoy it in a like a Pee Wee Herman kind of way. Like I think he wants us to enjoy it in a campy way.
The cold open is super camp as well. Now that I'm thinking about it, the like
in the
flashback.
Past?
Yeah.
But this is about the imagery itself, I would say. What do we
think? Yeah, I'm staying
at zero for this.
Brutal.
What about some of Jim Varney's drag characters? Are any of them sort of...
It just feels like a straight guy doing a... Like, I didn't think it was offensive or anything.
Right. It feels very man in a dress.
He's funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's not, like, insulting.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3.
A 3? I'll give it a 1 for putting old movies in your opening montage. Giving it a 1.33, which is the lowest we've had in the last, 12 movies. Okay, let's just move on. Okay. The next category, entrances with pizzazz.
I think it does well with this, actually, because I think Earth, the first time we see Eartha Kitt is great. There's one scene that as I was watching, I was sort of impressed, like where Ernest like storms into the police station. And it was one long shot where there was cutting from like this person's talking, now this person's talking, this person's talking. And it felt like they were filming a play almost. Like this definitely feels like an old time movie where it's like the edits aren't so fast and furious. There are like whole scenes that are one shot.
So you think this, you put this up there with like 12 Angry Men?
Yeah.
Wow.
But also all those tree trolls like popping up and appearing. That was,
I love the trolls being unearthed. All the trolls emerging is very, then the invincible troll has a good, it feels like such a kid like movie move, like such a cartoon, like now I'm invincible.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it also felt like a mini makeover montage where he just threw some new tentacles and he was like feeling himself and he came out being invincible.
People did. I didn't think this movie, I read like before I watched it, I was just like going through the trivia or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said like, oh, it's like so dark. But watch, I'm like, I didn't think it was that dark. Because I don't think a kid really has a concept of like, oh, my soul. Like, what does a kid know about a soul?
I was scared. I was definitely very scared by it. Yeah, but it's mostly because I really hate booger stuff,
booger-related, and this somewhere.
This is heavily into
We've
boogers.
We've dug deep, right?
Yeah.
Did you have issues with Booger in Revenge of the Nerds? That character?
Yeah, all anything booger. I don't like the word booger. It can. I don't like thinking about it. I don't like my own boogers.
Really? What do you do when you're congested or have a runny nose? You just like hate life.
I mean. Yes, and I will blow it, but I'm not looking.
Oh,
no.
I'm not looking after.
You're not analyzing?
No.
You would have hated this. I was once like a counselor at a science camp. It was like a bunch of like 12-year-olds. And this one kid sneezed. He had a cold. And then like he had so much snot. Two rivers of snot came out of like each nose and then connected and then formed a long one. And then he goes, watch. And then he just like swung it, like moved his head back and forth.
Mark!
I told you would hate this.
Okay.
Why did you tell me this?
And we're just like, stop that. You're gross.
What does he call? What does he call the troll? Booger lips? Old booger lips?
Old booger
lips. That's the worst thing I can think. That's the worst insult I can think of.
Oh, no. Booger lips. Yeah, that's pretty nasty. Although they would be shiny.
I guess it depends. I've had dry boogers.
I've had
Matt Booger.
How did this happen to me? How have I gotten on a podcast where we're talking about boogers?
Isn't that a Coke thing? Like when you do cocaine, you get like weird boogers. I've never done Coke, so I wouldn't know. But John, please, you worked at
I don't know.
You were in Broadway.
I was never in Broadway.
Okay. But around.
I guess it can. I mean, you're just snorting dust up your nose. So yeah, that could be some to your boogers.
Well, what do we want to give Ernest Scared Stupid for entrances with pizzazz?
I think this is good. I'm going to give it an 80.
I'm going to give it an 85.
85. Wow. Yeah. I'll give it a 70. Giving it an average of 78.33, which is 10 points higher than Death Spa. All right.
Okay.
All right. Our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I feel it's a little scary. It's a little bit scary, I think.
But I also feel like this town, this like predominantly white town, is like his kind of people.
I agree with that. That's true. Feels like he could be in this movie.
Yeah. As like the stuffy principal or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But does he think it's like appropriate for kids? I'm trying to think of like what he doesn't like.
Like, is there an occult thing?
But then I do
think he would like that the solution, which I thought was very strange, was like a representation of mother's milk. Of a mother's love is milk, which I feel like that's Mike Pence's whole thing. Is like I could see him fetishizing milk.
He definitely.
That's a good point.
You know what? So I think he's like, yes. This is,
I'm sure that movie awakened some stuff in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he might be one of them.
I just thought that was so weird. Like the,
I thought that was weird as well. Like, this is how you, this is the solution, pour milk on it. Cause I was wondering, like, is this to make kids think milk is cool? Is this to be like, milk is the worst? Like, I didn't know, like, what
they said it was a representation of a mother's love, which you can only think, well, that's breast milk, I guess. But then it seems like reductive of a woman to reduce her to her excretions. Maybe that's just me.
You're looking at it with a very contemporary lens, Mark, which is not what you should do.
I see.
The 1990. We have to look at it with our 1991 glasses.
I think it's still weird for 1991.
You are correct.
To make a big deal.
I think Mike Pence would be a little scared of how turned on he is by it. So I will give it a higher score.
That's interesting.
He'll be watching this snuff film.
He's just sweating while it's going on.
That's right. So I'll give it a 75.
75, because there is like a lot of milk spraying around.
There's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. What do you think of him thinking?
Ernest
Jim
gets
Barney
pretty slimy.
Doing all the drag characters that he does. He plays a couple women. It's a weird.
I think he'd be fine with that because it's not a particularly like the most like feminine woman. You know what I mean? They're like kind of older ladies. Sure. Little. It feels like hee haw more, and I think he'd probably be fine.
I agree.
With, you know.
Yeah, I don't think this is like a huge, I mean, it's also a kid's movie. I'll give it a 38.
38. I'll give it a 45. Giving a 52.67, which is 40 points, exactly 40 points lower than Blue Crush. All right, the next one, Hell on Heels. And by this, we mean like feisty ladies.
We got Eartha Kitt.
Eartha. And there is a lady
troll.
Other than
Eartha, there's almost no women.
There's a
lady
troll.
Oh, there is a lady troll.
Yeah.
That poor woman. She has huge knockers.
That's how you know she's a lady. How else would you know?
I was very surprised by that. She's the one that ate the camera or the film that belonged to Tom Tulip or whatever. And then there's just a quick shot of her melting, and she's got huge knockers. Like,
are you fine with non
double D's?
Are you fine with non boogery slime?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Like a wet guacamole.
But if you show like someone, it's like if the monster had sneezed and then you show like slime on them, I'm
you're
out.
You're thinking about it.
Gotcha. You're out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. I'm
I'll
done.
See you in the park.
KO'd.
This movie is filmed. That's a deal breaker.
Fair enough.
But that's Eartha and the one lady troll. That's about. What about the annoying little girl?
God. And her annoying mom. Every woman in it is annoying except for Eartha Kitt.
Yeah. So what do we think for Hell on Heels then?
I'm going to give Eartha Kitt 50 points.
50.
Yeah.
I'm giving Eartha 70.
70. I'll split the difference. Give it 60. Give it an average of 60. All right. Finally, the last of the canon categories. Lauren, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Ernest Scared Stupid to a gay person?
I would only recommend it to a gay person who's already seen it before and be like, rewatch it. It'll be fun.
There's more there. Only scratch the surface.
Rewatch textures. It. You'll have a fun time. I don't know that I would recommend it to anyone who didn't already grow up with it as like a nostalgia factor. Or if there was a gay person I knew who was into like practical effects, I would be like, oh, you should see Ernest Scared Stupid. But just a gay person I meet on the fellow gay I meet on the street.
As you do. Outside of circus books, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give that a 25.
25.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much. There's certainly nothing essentially gay about it other than Eartha Kitt. So for the Eartha Kitt, I'll give it a 10.
That's true. It does have Eartha. All right. I'll give it a. But Eartha Kitt has been better and so much
if
other.
If you're
things.
Like, if you loved Eartha Kitt in Emperor's Last Groove and you wanted more of that, then I would say, yeah, then watch Ernest Scared Stupid.
It's Emperor's New Groove. I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
People are screaming at you.
I apologize. You can stop tweeting. We get it now. Thank you.
I'll give it a 7. Giving it a 14. All right. Now we are into the aforementioned wheel category. Spinning wheel.
Spinning through. So these categories are categories previous guests have brought in. We've put them all in this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it twice. Whatever categories randomly pop up, that's how we will judge this movie.
Then how many are there on that?
Over 100 at this point.
Oh, okay, wow.
And then we have another wheel of categories listeners have pitched. So then we will spin that once, whatever comes off of that. And then you will either come up with a category or Mark and I can sort of suggest or recommend a category that already exists on the wheel that maybe you'd want to use for this movie. Make sense?
Okay.
Like sommeliers. Which
are going to be great. Yeah. All right, here we go. The first time.
This thing spins in real time.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
Well, so the bullies come around and like all the kids team up and the town kind of teams up.
But Ernest and the kids all sort of come together.
It's mostly teamwork, this movie.
Yeah.
It's very Scooby-Doo.
It's a town of very, very dumb people. Everyone is dumb. Everyone makes fun of Ernest for being dumb, but everyone is very dumb.
It's not like we're surrounded by Rhodes Scholars here.
Right.
Absolutely. I did think it was a very funny premise for the movie that he has a curse on him to always be like dumber every generation.
Yeah.
but the parents are like, well, our kids are missing, but I guess let's all go to the school for a Halloween party.
Right. Yeah.
Gotta have our fun.
Kids have been missing for 2 days. But yes, they did definitely all come together in a big crazy scene at the end.
Yeah.
I gotta give it 100. I'm gonna give
100.
It 100. This is a teamwork movie.
Hoosiers.
I'll give it an 83.
83. I'll give it a 90. There is a lot of teamwork. It's undeniable. Sure. I try as I might, I cannot deny the amount of teamwork in Ernest Scared Stupid. Also, the trolls team up.
That's true.
The main troll just wants to make a team. All right, spin that wheel again, Joe. Okay. I could go on and on about the teamwork themes of Ernest Scared Stupid.
Giant cock.
Giant cock.
A giant cock.
Is there a giant cock at any point?
I mean, I imagine the trolls are probably packing something, just judging by their hands, their nose, their ears. You know what I mean? A lot of their
appendages.
Maybe
they have two. They have two noses.
They have two noses. You're a nightmare.
I know. Although I get the sense they reproduce asexually.
It seems to be their method. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we don't ever see
it.
It
might be a waste to have a huge old dick or two huge dicks.
Do we consider like Ernest himself? Like, God, what a giant cock. You know what I mean? God, what an idiot. You know, like,
maybe.
Boy, you know. Or don't they say like.
He's more of a boob than a dick, I would say.
But isn't that this is a cock up? Isn't that like
a cock up?
Have you never heard that phrase? Like, everything's like fucked up, you know, the giant cock up. Like, oh, this is a whole like cock up.
No, this is vacocta.
No. This is an actual phrase, a giant cock up. You've never heard this?
I've never heard a giant cock up. It sounds like someone misheard the Yiddish phrase vacocta.
No, I think maybe they did, but I've heard a giant cock up. I'm not making this up.
Okay. You're just repeating a lie someone else told you.
Absolutely not. Do not Google a giant cock up because
the first or do one, if you want.
Or but... two if you want. But you can a giant cock up her is pretty much you can fill in the blank there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Google. How dare you?
So a giant cock. There's not even like a rooster.
No.
The only he gets slimed a lot in a way that could be viewed as like sexual, I guess. But
I don't want to think about that with this movie, though. Yeah.
No.
Right. It's a very asexual movie in general. That character.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's for kids.
There's not even really any innuendo for the adults.
No.
There's very little. There's a little, but not a ton. So yeah, I'm gonna go zero on the cock. Sorry, Jim. Enough. Sorry, Jim Varney.
I'm afraid I also have to go zero, although I'm sure his was lovely.
Lovely. I too will give it a zero. Giving it a zero.
All right. So now we're going to spin the listener wheel. Much fewer categories on this wheel.
The wheel.
It just says the wheel.
The wheel. This is what the description is that the listener submitted. Is a line from gay cinema or gay icon quoted during the course of the movie?
Oh,
references like this bond us. They are not to shared pop culture knowledge to say, hey, we share a common lexicon, a shared unique language. Oh, so is there something like within the movie that is like a wink to gay culture itself? How are they? This is from a listener named Rook. No social media, but great. All right. I don't believe there's any nod to queerdom whatsoever. Is there maybe just have casting Eartha Kitt, maybe, but it doesn't feel like they did that because like she's a gay icon.
When he's in drag for like 1 second and he's playing the like sassy lady. He says, and I don't know why he says it. It doesn't make any sense in the scene, but he says, "Do you smell fish?" That's the only thing I can think of that could be referencing a quote or something else.
But I don't think they were like, "Oh, we just saw, you know, Paris is burning and we got to get this reference." You know, it doesn't feel like
right. I don't know. Is the whole like milk as the thing, maybe?
The gay people love, is that,
I feel like milk on your face feels like getting cum on your face.
No, I think like they're so straight. I just feel like these people who made this are so straight. They don't realize that, oh, we're doing
bukkake left and right. Yeah. Any of that happens.
A broken clock is
you
right.
You can tell that they're straight because they put like a child, like kissing another child.
Ugh, I just hate feels
like
romance.
That's like the like child romance is like the straightest thing you can put.
I hate it. Oh, you know,
it's
those
the
like
straightest
posters
thing you can do in cinema.
You know, like people get those like black and white posters of like little kids in like an oversized suit in Paris, and like there's one like those poses in color, and like I hate that. It's disgusting.
They don't know what they're doing.
No, burn your apartment
down.
Let
them play Legos.
Yeah, no, that's like if you see that in someone's apartment, tear it off the wall and leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
All right, but for the drag and for some of the lines said in drag, I will give it a 20.
A 20 for there's 20 on nods to gay culture.
I'll give it a 7.
I don't think there's any. I'm going to give it a 0. Ooh. Giving it a 9. Hey, that's 9 points though. All right, Laura, the time has come for you to add a category. Did you have thoughts on one or did you want to?
Should I try to think pitches? Of one like,
sure.
like based on this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, the gayest thing about the movie is the dog's name. So I wonder if there's,
sure.
like, yeah, a gay dog, gay animal category.
Yeah.
But is catty love language is a new one.
But it's almost like innuendo, like accidental innuendo, maybe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That might be it. That might be what I'm looking for.
Accidental innuendo. Because sometimes like when you're like fishing for gold as a gay person or queer person looking for content or stuff that appeals to you, sometimes you'll take like they accidentally reference something.
Right.
So I'll take what I
clearly
in a desert,
he meant it as
you know?
A basketball. Right. Yeah. That's very true. Yes.
Or I thought it was like the ba-dump bump rim shot.
Oh, I took it as a basketball.
Wow. That's the,
reference.
You know, this is what makes the world wonderful.
Oh, I see. There's so many layers to this movie.
There's layers. The Criterion. We have your next pick.
I can't remember if Rimshot is in the other movies or not.
He's in a lot of them.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Both of John and I have our fingers up.
Actually,
ma'am.
If I may speak as a representative.
I think this was Rimshot's last movie. I think this
was
his last
one. You can't have a Christmas
movie
without a cute little dog.
No. It's the Law of the Grinch.
Yeah, this was the last one that he did because he was contracted through Disney. And after this, it did so poorly, Disney they ended their contract with Ernest. So there's one more Ernest movie that did poorly and then everything else was direct to video. But I believe this was Rimshot's last movie. But I think he and a bunch of human actors were in the previous one or two Ernest movies.
It is crazy to think like, oh, like even like a very modest, like small budget movie like this, that's live action was made by Disney and like put out into theaters.
Right.
Like a number, like they did like 3 of these, right? Disney did.
Yeah, they had a 3-picture contract, but after the first one went so well, they expanded it to 6 movies, and this was the 4th one that they did with the director.
Uh-huh. And you said this one did so poorly that they didn't.
Yeah,
I thought this one did okay.
I think it made like 14 million off a budget of 9 million, and I think you have to at least double your budget, or you don't actually make money.
Oh, okay.
Hollywood, you know, economics.
Yeah.
So what do you want to get this for accidental innuendo?
I think between Do You Smell Fish and the dog's name.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 60.
60.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will give it a 55.
55. I'll give it a 40. Giving it a 51.67. All right. Now we are into the bonus category.
Extra.
extra.
So these categories, as their name implies, are just bonus. So anything that, if it doesn't do well in these categories, it doesn't work against it. There's just extra bonus points it gets. So it's 0 to 10, and think of it as percentage bonus points.
Okay. All right. The first one, Lauren, what would you give Ernest Scared Stupid in musical potential? Could you see a musical being made out of Ernest Scared Stupid?
I certainly could. I certainly could.
Are you pitching it? Are you pitching one? Have you been working on this?
I got to talk to my manager.
The only problem, I guess, like, well, how do you find a new Ernest? But I also feel like he's been gone.
They said that about Funny Girl. And look.
Exactly, John. As if that's a roaring success. They said about the Funny Girl, look at this disaster.
look at this house fire.
But they could do SpongeBob on stage. You know what I mean? I feel like the rules are kind of different when it's like stage version.
Well, yeah, no one's actually expecting to see Jim Varney.
But we also don't want to see, do we want to see kids in a Broadway show? I guess if it's Matilda.
Or Annie, Oliver, Billy Elliot. Yeah, people like seeing kids in Broadway shows.
This would be, I guess, because you could have the trolls could have fun songs. I could be prepared or something, you know?
Definitely. An Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt, 11 o'clock number. Thank you. You definitely could do it because the character is sort of broad and it would probably be more of like a musical special, like rather than like a 8 shows a week. Grinding it out, but you could definitely do that with this. Like
you these could characters... do a version that you could do a UCB version.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bring it back every year. Right. Yeah.
We're just doing improvised Ernest Scared Straight the musical.
Is this 1 through 10 of how much 10. I would like to see it as
Or do you think it's possible?
Do you think it could be a good, decent musical?
Good and decent? I don't know, but it definitely could be a musical and one that I like. So I'm going to go with 8 for that.
An 8.
I'm also going to give it an 8. I think it could very easily be a musical.
I mean, it could, but who would watch it? I guess Lauren would.
Me. That's you one would. Ticket.
That's one ticket sold. One ticket. We'll just charge her $10 million.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 5. I think it's like, you're throwing your money away. I think if you...
Sure.
Investment, but it could, I guess. Sure. Fine. I'll give it a 7. All right. I convinced myself. Next one, Queer Menace. Are there any queer menaces? Maybe the trolls?
Do you think of Ernest in a way as sort of like he himself isn't queer, but he's sort of like this weird outsider that everyone's
he doesn't feel like
of.
An outsider. He just seems like, oh, Ernest, you know what I mean? That gotcha. Kind of thing. He feels like a part of the tapestry of the town.
Sure. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And the trolls don't come off as particularly like they don't have like their makeup is so good. I wish they were like written better, like they were funnier or had some like actual menace. They were just kind of like they were also stupid. You know, I wish they had like just a campier dialogue.
Sure.
Like get a Dennis Hopper under that makeup. Imagine what you could do. You know?
Mind real. This is why it needs to become a musical, Mark.
If you get a Danny DeVito in these troll costumes. But if you get Danny DeVito, you're not going to put him under layers of this kind of intense makeup.
You put like a mask over his head like it's Lion King.
Yes. He's the only thing in the movie like that. And everyone's just fine with it.
The Troll King.
I got to say, this is going to get a low score.
What about this? What about this? What about Eartha Kitt's character?
She's also the
she is an outcast though.
She is, yeah, that's true.
Which is a shame because she's like the coolest person in the town.
Absolutely, the most interesting person,
the most interesting, and everyone like hates her. Well, I think the town is racist. She's also the only person of color.
That's true,
and she's shunned. So, what a terrible movie you brought in, Lauren.
Okay, well, that's a good point made. So I'll go with I don't know how much of a villain she is.
Well, she's like an artist and they do want to like clean up her yard or something. I'm stressed.
She's a bit of a pariah. She's a pariah.
A pariah. So, that's the word. There she's we go. Pariah. This is why you're a writer, Lauren. This is it.
These words are at your fingertips.
Pariah. That's perfect.
So I'll give it a 5 for that.
A 5.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 3.
I'll give it a 3. Give an average of 3.67. All right, our next one. Character actress makes a big swing. Eartha Kitt. I mean, thank God for Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
Yeah, she saved this movie.
Do they have any like other fun like actresses like this, you know, in the other Ernest ones? Are there like, you know, in fun like character
not
parts?
Not as good of a get as this at all.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it's I hard actually, to topper the kid. Trust
yeah.
me.
You've tried.
I can't even think of any other guest stars that are like iconic whatsoever.
Right.
Like Debbie Reynolds isn't in like Ernest Cures Cancer or something. You know. But is she making a character actress making a big swing? I don't know if Eartha Kitt's exactly like going out of her element.
I mean,
but
that's
she is
tough because
fun.
Like Eartha Kitt is from her own universe. And so like she is still from her own universe, but she's also from Eartha Kitt universe. So is it for Eartha Kitt? Is it a big swing? No. But for Mere Mortals, yes, it's Eartha Kitt.
Like you couldn't no one else could possibly do this the way she does.
Exactly.
Which is true of her entire life.
I agree with that. Also, it's just like she's giving her all in a movie that it wouldn't require.
Does not deserve
it. Does not require it. It doesn't deserve it, doesn't require it, but she's giving 100% of her ability. So for that, I will give it a 10.
A 10.
I will give it a 5.
A 5. When are we going to build a bridge between you two? I'll be the bridge. I'll give it a 7. Giving it a 7.33. All right, our next, you might make up some points here. Macabre, speaking of. How macabre is Ernest Scared Stupid?
I mean, it's one of those things, like on paper, so much of it is macabre. Like they're hunting and capturing a werewolf. There's trolls in the ground. There's all this stuff happening, but it's so sketch comedy.
There is the soul thing, the taking children's souls.
That then the cold open too.
Yeah, that's
the character he's playing in the cold open. Yeah, I would say it's pretty.
Oh cool. Yeah,
it
that's could, like straight
it could be
out
more.
Of the witch.
They could have gone harder. They could have gone harder with it, but I think it's
and
pretty
should
good.
Have.
And should have.
There is a weird. Is it macabre for like an adult man only being friends with children?
I don't know if
macabre is the word, but inappropriate. Absolutely.
Inappropriate, off-putting.
Does it raise a flag? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another reason why the parents of this town aren't sane. They're just constantly letting them get in a car with a stranger and going into the woods with him.
Yeah, right.
With it, when they have a Jim Varney and an Eartha Kitt roaming around. These parents.
Okay, I would say this is going to get a 6 from me.
A 6?
Yeah, I'll give it a 5.
I will also give it a 5. I was just looking up. I forgot the Eartha Kitt song, Cha-Cha Heels. Remember that one from 1989? Her and Bronski beat. If you don't know Cha-Cha Heels, check it out. I mean, what better doing a reference to female trouble?
Right, for Eartha Kitt? Come on.
Eartha Kitt. It's gay Fantasia, which should be coming to Disney, you would hope, at some point. All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. I mean, there's no real,
real gay role.
We don't have any information on Rimshot, the dog's actual orientation.
No, we don't.
Do we think the kid's character was gay? Lady lives alone, makes a lot of steel sculptures.
Could be.
Welds. Lady welder.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I could see her like
Rosie the
knows
Riveter.
Witchcraft.
Sure.
Knows witchcraft. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But Eartha Kitt wasn't gay.
No.
So I don't know why I brought that up.
Is the category about the actor or about the character?
Playing gay roles. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
But we were talking about, are there no real gay roles? So there kind of aren't. But again, this is bonus. So if it gets a 0, it doesn't work against the overall score.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 1 anyway, just because I want to.
Fair enough.
Fair. That's all you need. I'll give it a 0.
Well, we don't know about Rimshot, but isn't every dog kind of gay? I think they're Pan, right? I'll give it a 0. Giving it a 0.33. All right, now we are into the iconic categories.
So these are the sort of larger, more broad umbrella, all-encompassing characters. So we're scoring these from 0 to 225 points.
Oh, damn.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It's going down.
It's happening. All right, the first
things one. Can really turn around for Ernest right
they
now.
Can. Yeah. Pull it out of this nose.
Lightning
dive.
Round.
All right. The first one. What would you give Ernest Scared Stupid in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is Ernest Scared Stupid?
Well, because Mike Pence would be a little bit afraid of it, I think I gave that a 25. I'll stick with a 25.
There
that.
Is
a,
also Ernest does like spit milk out of his mouth into a troll's face.
I might have been looking away at that point. I don't know. I missed
it was
that.
Scared.
It might be a booger. Oh.
I'm lactose intolerant. All right, a 25.
Yeah, it's not a really erotic movie at all.
Not that we're asking it to be.
No. But I'll give it a 3.
A 3 out of 225. That's the lowest you've given anything in Homo Erotus on this score. And I'll give it a 18. giving it a 15.33. All right, next category. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with the whole book of ideas?
Well, there's that montage where he plays a bunch of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And could you do... It, I do think it would be a fun to do a take on Ernest. Doing a glamorous...
A drag
like,
king?
Yeah,
or even a drag queen. Even the drag queen could do it too, you know?
Sure.
I do think it's fun to take, like, do a really glam look from something that is the absolute opposite of that. Yes. Yeah.
Because the kid's character is kind of... She's got a
steampunk kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, she's got the an Evie Oddly look.
Definitely.
She would almost fit right in like Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
She has that post-apocalyptic vibe. And the trolls are pretty fun.
They are fun. Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for troll inspiration, trollspiration.
Okay, it's 225. I'll give it 110.
110.
I will give it 110 as well.
Oh, so if you're doing like a Night of a Thousand Earthas. You would include, you got to include her, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this, if you went with that, you could go to the theater that night confident that no one else was going to be doing that one.
Absolutely true. I'll also give it 110. Let's just have peace in the valley. Give it an average of 110.
Finally.
All right. And this is where the score takes a tumble, I believe. Queer 101. How much of Ernest Scared Stupid do you consider it to be like an essential queer text?
Zero.
If only it was Ernest Scared Straight. Yeah,
this is an unfortunate zero.
Unfortunate.
It could be. It could honestly be in the negatives for that child kiss.
I literally wrote
the two
in
children
my notes,
kissing. Can yes. I give it a negative score?
Mark won't let you. Much
no.
as he wants
no,
okay.
zero.
Zero.
I would. I wrote negative 500 in my notes for this for Queer 101, but I can't.
Yeah, it's zero. There's just really nothing about this. Although I don't, it's not even like, look at what horrible stuff they were making at the time. It's just like a dumb kids movie.
Yeah. It seems like, it reminded me, this is a movie you would see as a kid that was like on at like a laundromat or something.
Absolutely. Like every Saturday at 2 p.m.
It does feel like, this is a quintessential like, in Dad's Cabin, there's this VHS. Yeah.
mm-hmm. I think it also just got replayed a ton on like, Stars Network
course,
or whatever,
yeah.
like it
sure.
was just a replayable.
All right, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Ernest Scared Stupid?
I do think it's campy.
I think it's pretty campy.
It's pretty damn campy.
That's if it has a superpower, it's camp.
It's fairly campy. It's not the campiest thing.
Those little montages where he's playing a bunch of characters kind of for no reason.
Yeah, that's pretty campy.
Camp.
The fact that he's like a groundling character that has its own universe feels very camp to me. I don't know if he's from Groundlings, but it feels like he and Pee-wee Herman and Elvira could do a road movie together.
If only.
A Halloween party where the parents' children is missing. That's camp.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
and nobody
camp.
Cares.
No one cares.
They put up all these decorations, so we better go to the party.
Yeah, put a deposit on this costume.
I mean, the pizza gun is the campest thing
pizza
of all. Like
gun.
The whole setup in the treehouse is. Like
I do
super
like
duper
as
camp.
A kid, I was like a sucker for any like. That's why I love the A-Team because they would like turn a vehicle into a tank. Like I love. Sure, anytime yeah. someone like built something that was like had weapons and artillery and you could like anytime a movie where kids were going attack I was like yes
yeah that is my favorite part of the movie, like when they're building all that, the pizza gun and the like canned food gun, everything,
right?
That's very feels very camp, very Pee Wee Herman.
It's crazy that Pee Wee Herman never got like a Halloween movie.
That is crazy.
That is, sir.
Well, he
like
was more of
fit.
Like a, he was more of a TV, although he did have a lot of movies.
He had two movies, third
like,
on Netflix.
That's true. I think of it as more of like a TV character.
Yeah, but think of Large Marge in the first one. You know what I mean?
Of course. No, I agree. Totally could work. But I could see them going, let's do a Halloween special instead, like you did a Christmas special.
The Rise of Large Marge would be an incredible movie.
Where's her
That's
prequel?
A perfect Halloween. There we go.
God, I got a bunch of reasons.
Got another pitch. I'll
give this a 200. I'm going to give this a 200 because I think it's very, very campy.
Yeah, I'll give it 200 as well.
All right, I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Fonts that drip blood, actors playing multiple roles, children's movies that are too dark, contraptions going out of control, a dog trying to kill someone, a child doing a John Wayne impression, ending up in a perfect cube of trash, physical comedy, cartoonish bullies, an actor doing their character reel in the middle of a movie, using junk in a fun way, creating trolls with the soul of a child, the great redneck hope, awful child actors with too much screen time, using milk as the ultimate expression as a mother's love is fucking weird. Heard of being dragged to filth, but being dragged through filth? Milk having no power over you. Unconditional love saving the day. And finally, kind of doing the portal scene from Avengers Endgame, but instead of your favorite heroes returning, it's a bunch of shitty child actors. I think the camp is like very like children's movie, Manic, and it's not like a camp I personally like respond to.
Well, thank God. But so, I also think, I bet for a lot of people, and maybe you feel this way too, Lauren, is like, this was like an introduction to camp, or like an idea of like, oh, this kind of sensibility is
yes,
fine.
That's absolutely what it was for me. This and Pee Wee Herman were like, they made me like slightly crazy,
weirdly chaotic,
weird and worlds and cool stuff. Yeah.
I just feel
and
like
that everybody's on the same page in the world about like that this is normal. Like that was very important.
Yes, trolls are attacking us. Right. Yeah.
Like the backside of a Hooters waitress. I just feel straight guys fingertip prints all over this movie. So to me, that takes it down.
That's,
really tripped off the tongue.
Give me some credit, John. I just made it up. God.
That's great.
What are you swinging? What are you throwing out there, John? Nothing. I'm out here in the trenches. And
Mark,
sometimes
dog...
I get my words twisted. God. Sorry, Lauren.
A dog drives a car in this movie.
That's
so
true.
That, I mean,
I gave it 150.
Okay. No one's yelling,
well,
Mark.
Let's...
I'm yelling.
You're... Well, you said it.
I said it. Finally, all right, I got 183.33, which is very, which is, get this, 12 points higher than Funny Lady.
Okay.
Fair enough. Where do they, the shame they never teamed up.
Eartha Kitt, it really saved this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Abs, she's doing all, like, probably everything she does. Yeah. She's doing all the heavy lifting. All right. Now we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories we don't rate, we just say yes or no. We vote yes or no on them.
Okay.
All right. The first one, a 50% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Ernest have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
I want to give it credit for not being homophobic. Like there's no like weird sort of like gay panic moment in the movie, but I don't think it's a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Yeah. And I don't feel the need to give someone credit for that. Like good for you. You weren't hateful. Like I would hope not.
Sure. But it was a bar that no one asked them to cross and they did it. In 1991.
Yeah, that's a no from me as well. This is
But I'm still giving it a no. Yes.
Yeah, it's not getting it. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
This is not the movie Stonewall, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right.
Oh, I wasn't sure for a second, but it's not
stones.
The movie Stonewall.
Yeah. all right, that's it. We're done.
All right, so Lauren, do you still think Ernest Scared Stupid is dead last?
No, I don't think it's dead last anymore. Because Eartha Kitt, I forgot Eartha Kitt of it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,181.69 points, Ernest Scared Stupid has scored 928.36, giving it a percentage of 42.55, making it the 130th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as The Faculty, but gayer than Toy Soldiers.
Okay.
All right. That's respectable.
Feels about right. Yeah.
I think so. I think that's all. That's, as we've said, that's Eartha Kitt for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for
this, didn't realize how much of a math podcast this is for you guys. You guys have to do a lot of math.
No, it's an Excel spreadsheet that's been programmed. We're fine.
Yeah, yeah. I just enter them in.
That alone is a skill that I'm impressed by.
But you should see how many tabs I have on this spreadsheet. This thing is a monster. They're all linking. Tabs are linking to other tabs and sheets linking to other sheets. It's a real production.
You could
production.
Put this on your resume. Yeah, that you're
well, my brother
extremely
did
extremely proficient
I'm
in
not
Excel.
Tabs. I'm only good at doing this. And like if I had a And my brother, Mike Reddy, hello, Mike, is the one who like actually built this thing. And then now I basically just maintain it. So I cannot take the credit for it. He is the true Excel master. Mm. But you, Lauren, excel at being a master of delightful
indeed, times. Wonderful. Such a treat.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Not really.
Fair.
I guess, you know, if you just see me around town, say hello.
It'll be nice.
I'm at Trader Joe's a lot. So
hi. Do you get, it's pumpkin season. Are you like, do you have any favorite pumpkin items? Season.
I tried the pumpkin seltzer and it tastes like dog vomit.
No. It Why would you even bother? Bad.
That seems like a terrible
Don't
mix.
Get it. I was excited about it. Don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you want but pumpkin and milk is fun. You know what I mean? Like if it's in a coffee drink, it's okay.
I feel like pumpkin's like a heavier flavor. So like,
it needs a cream-based flavor.
Like, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It works much better in beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, thank you so much, Lauren. Always a delight to have you on. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, TW Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, so you can email us at @2oldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, if we got anything wrong, anything we missed, thoughts. We love hearing from you.
And we got a Patreon, so you can hear the remainder of Five Cold Screams if you want. Also, we have if you want Halloween stuff, we got series on Nightmare on Elm Street, Child's Play. That might be it. Right?
Bunch of donuts. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. So patreon.com/twooldqueens.
Yes, we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it for us, right?
Finally, real quick, if I may, if you are in the New York City area, my musical parody, A Musical Parody, is playing. It'll be opening next week for 2 weeks at Chelsea Table and Stage from October 20th to the 31st. Come check it out. I would love to see. I will probably be there. So
award-winning production.
That's true. And it's won several LA Ovation Awards. So you can come check it out. It's a lot of fun. A great, fun night out at the theater. And the performers are out of this world. Their voices
I've seen it.
Incredible.
I saw it when it was here in LA. It's great.
Yeah.
And John wrote a fantastic script.
Well, Mark, thank you so much.
For what?
Treat you all.
But that's it. We'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.